A new study commissioned by AAA examines the levels of distraction drivers experience when using hands-free technologies, including high-tech communication systems that are now becoming common in newer makes of automobiles. We had a chance yesterday to discuss the findings with the author of that study, Dr. David Strayer, a professor of psychology out of the University of Utah. And Dr. Strayer, you've been doing a research on distracted driving, and it would seem, from the outside looking in, that these hands-free technologies that are becoming so prevalent, that they would lead to less distraction for drivers. What are you finding?
One of the surprising things that we found in the most recent work was that when you hang up, when you're done with that interaction, the distraction persists. It's fairly high, so we know that the workload is very high when people are interacting with these voice-based technologies, and that when you hang up, you terminate that voice-based interaction, not only does it still have high levels of distraction or high levels of cost, but it takes up to 27 seconds to get attention back on the road as it would have been had you not been interacting with that technology.
There would be those who might say that technology is for the young and that for older drivers like myself might struggle a little bit more with these types of technologies, and maybe that's why it takes so long to recover. Is there any discrepancy in age in your findings?
So we looked at people between the ages of 21 and 70, and what we found is that drivers across the age range are experiencing these increased levels of workload when they're talking to their car or talking to their smartphone, and that those costs persist for all people across the age range. It is the case that older drivers over 50 years of age, are showing greater cost when they try and interact with these voice-based systems. They're harder to use.
Understanding how our brain works and the thought that, yeah, we can't handle all of these different things at one time. Can you describe what's going on inside our brains when we're trying to utilize this technology, which, again, we're looking at the road, we've got our hands on the wheel, we're talking to our cars or our hands-free units? What's going on inside there that is preventing us from fully concentrating?
Well, there's this myth that persists in our culture that we're good at multitasking, but it's not true. It's a myth. When we try and multitask in pretty much any domain, what happens is something doesn't go well. Maybe you don't compose a message very well if you're in the office. Maybe your social relations suffer if you're at the dinner table. But when it comes to driving, what happens is the driving suffers. And what we know is that you've got two activities that are demanding attention. One is paying attention to the road, and one is paying attention to whatever you're trying to get the smartphone or your car to do. And those two compete. And so what happens is for periods of time, you're really hardly attending to the driving task. You're attending to that to the phone or the car and trying to get it to do what you want. And then when you finish that activity, you know, now you have to kind of come back and figure out where you are on the road, what are the things have changed, and so forth.
Let's take us into your methods in measuring this distraction that you are telling us about here. How did you go about determining that?
There's a field called aviation psychology that has measured pilot workload and tried to figure out how to control the amount of distraction that are in the cockpit of a plane. And we just use those same methods. We use brain-based measures, so we recorded EEG and heart rate and eye movements. We use something called the subjective workload measures that the NASA group uses to measure workload of their astronauts. It's called the NASA TLX. We use a new standard. It's called the detection reaction time task, and there's a light that flashes periodically, and you have to respond to it. It's a new standard that turns out to be very sensitive to driver workload. And then we take measures of how well someone's driving, how fast they're going, how well they stay in their lane, and so forth.
Dr. David Strayer, thank you very much for your time this morning.
My pleasure.